Oh, shit. Oh,
already messing up.
Love that.
Hello, I am Coel. No, I'm not. I'm Kenna. Oh, my God. It's been a day.
Strong start. I'm Coel. This is Kenna. And this is DAK Live with Lainey.
Hello.
Hey, we're already embarrassing ourselves over here.
This is a professional show.
We are extremely excited to have Lainey on. If you do not know, Lainey is the co-founder of the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival that we have been lucky enough to go to once and are super excited about going to again this year. So we wanted to bring you on, Lainey, and just kind of chat about anything and everything and just kind of have an easy episode going, like easy peasy.
Well, thank you for inviting me. First of all, I'm very thankful whenever anybody reaches out and invites me to their lives. I don't get to do them very often, but I am super appreciative.
Yay. Tell us a little bit about you, Lainey, what you do, and maybe how you got into what you're doing now.
Okay, well, so I'm Lainey Hobbs. I have been a podcaster since 2016, and I started my first podcast then. It was called True Crime Fan Club, which I then rebranded, I think, in 2022 to True Crime Cases with Lainey. As you can tell, I am very creative in my name format for my podcast. And from there, I kind of built this creative spark of just wanting to create more and more podcasts because I am a crazy person. So I have a paranormal podcast. It's called It's Haunted What Now? And then a live format podcast called True Crime Convos, which streams first on YouTube and then goes to a podcast feed afterwards. And I have also hosted two podcasts, one on Spotify, one on Acast. One on Spotify was Crimes of Passion, True Crime Podcast, and then Tracing Darkness, a True Crime Podcast as well. I'm a voice actor and a festival co-founder, a bunch of stuff that I do on the side that really fuels like my creative spark and stuff. So my whole drive and mission with what I do as it relates to the podcast community is really building a community for independent podcasters, not just true crime podcasters, although that's how initially it started for me, but really also for any independent creator out there who's looking for resources or somebody who's listening going, hey, I want to do that. I just don't know how to get started, and giving them kind of those resources to be able to either build a community around themselves, find like-minded creators, etc., and how to get started, because that's how I was supported when I first started, and I like to pass along the same good energy that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a great explanation there. But that's, I think, kind of, I mean, that's how we met, right? That's exactly what you did for us, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Being able to give us, you know, a tiny little podcast with like 8,000 downloads gets approved to go to this festival. We're really excited about it. And we're about 100 downloads away from 50,000 now. So
that's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. See, I think that's really wonderful. Honestly, it makes my little heart happy when I hear things like that, because it demonstrates that like the point of TCPF is to give everybody an even playing field, right? Like your show means just as much in this room as somebody who has like 5 million downloads, right? And they like 50,000, wow, you know? To me, every milestone needs to be like celebrated. So I remember when I first started, there was this thing you would always like post like, I only hit like 10,000 downloads and stuff like that. And I was like, you got to really reframe the way you're thinking that, because somebody's looking at your numbers going, man, I wish I hit that. You know, even 100, like there are people who are getting just 10 downloads, like just 10 downloads in a month, right? Maybe because their podcast isn't easily discoverable. And as you guys know, entering within the true crime, you know, creation space is, it's super saturated with creators. You know, a new true crime podcast, either from a network or from an independent creator, is popping up literally every day. So you have to find a way to stand out. And part of that is within the content that you're creating, right? Like, is it meaningful? Is it different, right? Or are you just there reading off of Wikipedia like some people do? You know, it's, and not really kind of investing the time. And the sad part of it, right, is that people give up so quickly because I think they want to start a podcast, but they don't realize the effort that goes into not only starting it, right? You think you launch it and you're like, wow, that's it. That's great. But then, oh yeah, I have to create content. And some people push themselves to do it weekly, which I never recommend. I recommend,
two a week.
Crazy. I honestly, like, my best advice for when people are interested in starting a show is create 12 episodes. Have a full, like, season ready, right? Like, even if you're going to do weekly, okay, you have 12 weeks of episodes ready to go.
Yeah.
And if you can maintain that schedule and do it consistently, then you're good to go. You won't pod fade. You understand, like, do it without even building an audience. Create the episodes and then schedule the content out so then you can start working on the next 12. Because if you can do that without the pressure of, oh my gosh, how many downloads does this get? Should I stop? Should I go? Like, you didn't pause on your creativity, right? You kept it going. Because people will get down and out about the feedback that they get, or like that the fact that they're not getting enough downloads from their perspective because they're seeing other people, you know, posting their numbers and everything. That's my biggest advice, is like, first create the content. Do all of that first. And if you can maintain that schedule and you can do it consistently, then you're ready and you won't pod fade. I truly believe that.
For sure. We actually were talking about that yesterday on our live. We had a listener was talking to us about, you know, he thinks he wants to start a true crime podcast. Where does he start? And we essentially gave him the same advice, you know, and I was like, he was like, is there anything that you guys wish that you did differently? And that's exactly what I said. I was like, I kind of wish that we would have created a bunch of content all at once and then mass released that, because it did take us a little while to get our feet wet. Mm-hmm. You know, we started in August of 2021 and we really didn't see a huge spike in our downloads until the end of 2023. So we were kind of in a lull for 2 years, essentially not waiting, but, you know, waiting, I guess, for something to happen to get those downloads up, right? And we've essentially doubled our downloads within the last year.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And I think at this point, we have so much content that is out there that once we are discovered by a new person, they tend to binge it, which is lovely.
Just good.
Yes, that's always a blessing. I'm like, please don't listen, but also thank you. my early episodes are, I mean, like I said, started in 2016. So really, if you're listening and you're wanting to binge, like, you have to start on the website first, because my feed only goes back to, like, a certain number, like, I think 150 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm not putting everything out there, because, like, my first episode is the most cringeworthy one to me, but I'm like, I'm not taking you down, because there are people who liked it, right? Like, who like
it. Definitely.
It's not the way that I would do my show anymore, which is why you see, like, that change in growth. But I also am like, the person who always recommends starting with the most recent episode, unless it's a serial podcast, in which case, yeah, it makes sense to start at the beginning. But I'm always give the podcast a fair shot and start with the most recent, because I've gotten reviews like a long time ago, like last year and the year before, where it would be like, started listening to like the 2019 episodes. I hope it gets better. I'm like, it does, but why would you start there?
Like, no, seriously, because that's like
great.
Yeah, that's when we didn't have any experience, right?
Yeah.
But then terrible. I also, when I'm a person that listens to podcasts a lot, and Coel's been honest about it. She does not listen to podcasts often. But
I listen more now only because I love faces to voices. So, meeting people like Jason Usry, I'm like, oh, God.
Isn't it weird, right?
Oh, my gosh. I'm in love with Richie Buck.
Yeah. I mean, getting the. I actually listened to Lainey's years as well before we met you. And so it was kind of like that same thing.
Sorry.
No, it was good. But
she started in 2019.
I did.
Right? That was actually my review. So I'm glad I'm glad you did better.
Glad I could get that off my chest. No, so I do listen when I start a new podcast, and I'm actually still in the process of looking for new ones, like, you know, all the time. I will listen to the most recent one because I'm like, okay, if I like them now, I can get past maybe if they had any errors in the beginning or maybe things that they had to work out. Like, it's easier for me to look past that when I know what they've accomplished, like, since then, you know. But I'll watch the most recent one, and then I'll start from the beginning after that, and then I'll binge it all the way through.
Yeah. It's important to see the growth.
Yeah. I'm all like, that's true. Like, if I'm binging backwards, right? I'm like, unless it's, again, episodic, and if they're doing like a three-parter, then I skip around. Like, for instance, Smartless, right? Not an indie pod, so sorry. But I listen to that one because it's very rare for me to step outside of listening to true crime, really, because I'm a true crime, like, content consumer. Like, I create a show that I like, for myself. And then I go, okay. And I listen to, like, literally everybody's show, mostly because I think it's beneficial for me to understand, like, the content, right? Because we have kind of a screening process as it relates to TCPF, right? We want people to come who have the right mindsets in terms of being ethical creators. We don't want people who are just like, blood and gore, aren't these cool serial killers amazing? Like, we don't promote that or anything like that, or anything, you know, of that nature. So, you know, it's beneficial to me, A, and I get exposed to new content that I normally wouldn't have found, right, just on my own. It's because I see them on the website or they are registering and I'm like, oh, yeah, let me check them out and see. Or creating a playlist of, you know, the best episodes, in my opinion, of what I've listened to thus far and stuff. And so, yeah, it's, to me, it's really important to be a podcast consumer regardless of the content you're consuming, right? Like, if you're like, I love self-help podcasts, great, but you're a true crime creator, amazing. It's still, you still need to be in that world to understand it. Like, creating a podcast and listening to a podcast, completely different worlds.
Oh, yeah.
But when you converge those two, right? Because I listen to my show even after I publish it, because when I'm recording it, I'm not listening to it in that same manner with the same ear that I would exactly. if I was just a consumer. So it's really important to kind of have both. So even if you don't listen frequently, at least you've listened. And so you're like, yeah, I can see the improvements that I could make in my own show just by listening to this and what they've done. Or like, oh man, I remember when that happened to me, you know, where I hear a repeat in an episode that I thought I deleted, but, you know, I was just learning how to edit and I'd been editing for a whole day and now I can edit, you know, an hour episode in like 30 minutes or 20 minutes, whereas it used to take me forever.
Editing was
like that.
The,
like, you get to do your growth.
The hardest part.
Yes, I'm very happy that's over now. I'm glad I've been able to pass that on, because I was like, oh my god, if I had to do that now, I would never get an episode out.
Yeah, we would record like an hour and a half long episode, and I would sit there and listen to it, and it would take me 3.5 hours to edit it. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know why, people might think we're crazy, we just edit as we go now. Like, as we're recording, if something messes up, we pause, we start over, and then all I have to do is just join all those clips, put our ads in, post it, and then, you know, it takes like 10 minutes. I'm like, why didn't I think of this before?
Yes, I know. So some people do it differently. Like, I don't do punch-in roles for my podcast because it disrupts my flow of, like, the storytelling piece. But, like, if I'm doing, for instance, an audiobook, I will. I'll stop and go, no, I didn't like that. I'm going to go and re-record, like, dub over that and make sure. You know, so I think it's just, it depends on the format, right? If I'm doing my live show, I'm not going to be like, hold on, let me go back and do that again. I'm like, I don't care. But yeah, I mean, I think it varies and stuff like that. And there are people who, like, swear by punch and roll, and others who are like, no, I record straight through. Me now, because I have the luxury, I go straight through. I'm like, yeah, that's what I pay him for, to go through. Deal with that.
That's very true.
You know, yeah, but if I'm recording an episode that I'm like, I've edited my own episodes but in the past, and more recently too, just because I've put myself on a weird deadline, and I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna do the first pass of it or something, and I'm like, okay, I still got it, I still have this knack to be able to not, you know, take forever, like 4 or 5 hours with an hour long episode. But people don't realize the time investment that goes into this. Like, if you're working a full-time job, well, welcome to your next full-time job, because you're on social media, you're on, you know, you're building out your website, you're editing your episodes, you're getting, you know, your sources and researching. Like, this is an additional full-time job that does not pay well.
No, it doesn't.
There's no boss that you can talk to about getting a raise. You're like, okay. And sometimes it can be, you know, you have the slumps in podcasting. Every successful show does. Like, we're not immune to that because of how long we've been around. Like, we know notoriously in the wintertime, it is not ever a fun time. In the next 2 weeks, the downloads will obviously go down a little bit because of spring break. People are home with their kids and they're doing this. So in the summer, same thing. So, like, it's an ebb and flow kind of situation. And if you can deal with that, and if you can deal with the feedback that you're going to get unsolicited, then you're good.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I
Oh, excuse me. Gosh, I'm kicking the table over here.
And that's the beauty of the live. We don't pause.
We don't pause. Yeah.
Right. Can we stop and start over?
Yeah, say all that again.
Yeah. You don't mind. Yeah. Take it from the top.
Although I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, I tend to listen to a lot of junk reality TV podcasts because it's mindless sometimes. Oh my gosh. And Scandoval just, and everybody has a podcast now.
Do you listen to the Bravo docket? That's my favorite.
Oh my gosh.
That's like my two favorite things together. The Law and Bravo TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also listen to that chapter, but sometimes the episodes are really, really long and you can tell where they've pieced together. Like maybe they began recording the rest of it the next day where their voice kind of sounds a little different. And so I love the fact that, you know, we... You okay?
I got a tickle, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
going
to drink some water. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I'm fine. She's crying. But yeah, I like the fact that this is like a concentrated, maybe 2 hours we'll be in the closet together and just, like, not necessarily knocking it out, but like getting it done. Like, we set aside that time then and there. And, but I understand on you know, sometimes I listen to a lot of YouTube channels like Dreading or like Ewoo, and they have sometimes 3-4 hour long episodes of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, and it's all like interrogation videos, and they're like pausing to talk about maybe body language or something. And so I definitely understand that it can be worth it to take breaks in between those big episodes. I don't think we've had anything that long. Have you ever had like an hours long episode, Lainey, where it's like 3-4 hours?
Okay. Absolutely not.
I feel like I wouldn't want to listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And I would break it up anyways. I would never. It's harmful to your voice. Like I'm a voice actor, so I take great care and consideration as it relates to my voice health and everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I only record, like, even when I was working with Spotify and with Acast, my hard and fast was like a maximum of 1 hour and 30 minutes. Like, that's all you get. Because I also work full time, and I literally talk for a living. I have to talk for a living. So I'm like, and this is performative, right? So my voice that you're hearing now is not the voice you hear on my podcast, right? It's more fine tuned. It's more, you know, it's meant to be immersive. So my voice is the least like captivating part of it, right? There's certain nuances you have to it when you're reading and stuff like that. And especially like audiobooks and stuff, I would never go longer than 1.5 hours if I'm performing anything.
You can honestly hear it at that point. I feel like when you're talking for that long, you know, we've done episodes that are almost 2 hours, and at the end of it, I'm like, oh my God. And then I go to my, like, hang out with my boyfriend, and he wants to chat, and I'm like, I don't want to talk at all. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
I'm done talking today.
Yeah, exactly. And you get worn out. Like, it physically is draining on your body to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even yesterday, we had our first Instagram Live. I know that you liked the post, but we did that for, it pretty much took us 3 hours because we prepped for, like, 1 hour, and then we were on it for 1.5 hours. Or, you know, at 45 or whatever. Yeah. And then immediately when we hung up, we went straight to the closet and recorded 1-hour-long episode. And by the end of that episode, I was like, oh my God.
It was like,
I don't know what I've done.
It was like a full-time job on top of a full-time job. It's like, you know, you clock out and you go to the next job.
And then both of us log off, and then we still have homework. And it's like, oh my God, because we're both still in school. Like, ugh, it's just a lot. You're so right. It's like a second full-time job. But you know what? It's what we're passionate about, and that's why we do it. We don't do it for anybody but ourselves, honestly, because we love it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what drives you at the end of the day. That's what drives me. It's like, I need to have two parts, right? Like, I could never quit working full-time in a, like, corporate America job. I just, the way I was raised, the need for stability and all this stuff, like, I've tried doing content creation full time, and I was like, I hate this. Like, this sucks. It took all of the fun and the creativity out of it when I had to see it as a job.
Yeah.
And so being able to see this as a fun thing that I get to do was really important to me. Like, I knew that I was probably going to have a baby at some point, and it was, I think, insanely far ahead, right? Probably thanks to my anxiety and depression, where I'm like, I could die, maybe. Who knows? Same. Well, I know I definitely will be. So that's no longer a mystery. I definitely will be dead at some point.
But solved it.
I was like, there we go. But it was really important for me to have to have an identity outside of being a mom, right? Because I didn't want to be this person who was like, you know, you hear those like stories of women in their like 40s or 50s who are like, I put all of this work and effort into being a mom and being there for my kid. And now, you know, they've gone on and started living their lives. And I don't know what I like, what I do, what I want, you know, anymore. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to be that person. I want to have this full person identity and add on being a mom. Like, I can do that, too, as long as I can have this and this and have that balance in creativity and then also have the stability to say, like, I can provide for my family and I can have this creative outlet. And now I can be a full person because I have both of those things. And now I can be the best mom, you know.
Yeah.
So
it
was really important for me to have that. And so being able to balance those things has been tricky sometimes. And it's not always been easy. But part of being able to build that community around yourself is having your friends step in for you. So like when I had my baby and I was on maternity leave, I had already planned out, you know, like 6 episodes and made it for all of my friends who were going to come on and host an episode based off of like where their podcast was located or stuff. Or like if they were like a Texas podcast, and it would be a Texas crime. My friend lives on the East Coast in the Berkshires. And so I was like, oh, we'll do a Massachusetts case, you know, so getting them to kind of come around and rally for me while I'm out and not go, okay, well, what are you going to give me? It's like, it's not one of those situations. It's always kind of very supportive. And that's what I want other people to find. Like, I want people to find and get what I have in the creator community that I was able to build around me when I first started.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have that. For me personally, being a parent myself, yeah, I had one person, I'll never forget the way that she said it to me, but you just want to be a mom? When I said I wanted to have my kiddo, and I mean, to me, every baby is important, right? But
yes.
I was 26, I was married at the time, I was very much in a position financially that I wanted to have a baby, that is something that we planned for, and we had our son, and when I had said that for many years, I said, I want to be a wife and I want to be a mom. And she's like, well, you don't want anything more? Like, you don't want... And that always sat so gross with me. I was like, no, like, this is what I want to do and I can do my life however I want to. And then when I chose to go back to school, it's a very real conversation that me and my son have. He's in school. And so I'm like, I'm doing homework. You're doing homework. Like, it's a vibe, right?
Yeah.
And then also he knows about the podcast and what we talk about. And we talk about mental health.
He thinks we're famous. <He's>,
oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah. When he told our niece that, she's like, oh, he said, my mom and Kenna are famous. I was like, oh, baby. But I like that because I was able to do it in a way that made sense to me. And there's never, you know, people like, oh, well, you know, you did life backwards. Well, what is forwards? What is backwards? That makes no sense to me. It never has. But yeah, I think definitely being able to feel like I have it all, but at a pace that made sense for me was like really important to me. And I find it so much more rewarding now.
Yes. Agreed.
I mean, that's kind of the same thing that I do as well. Excuse me. Oh my gosh. Do as well. I'm going to be 29 in a few months, and, you know, I'm in my master's program. I didn't get my bachelor's until I was 26, and now I'm in my master's program, not engaged, you know, not even living really on my own, but I don't care. You know, like, I love my life, like, the way that it is, like, and everyone's like, oh, you and Casey have been together for so long, like, why aren't you guys married? I'm like, none of your business, because we're not ready to get married, you know, financially. Yeah. We're not going to put ourselves in a situation where we're broke and just because we're married. Like, no, we're together. I would love to get married. I'm excited to get married, but it's just not right now, and that's okay, you know?
Like, to rush.
Exactly. Everyone can do what they want. And honestly, like I said, the podcast is super important to us, and that's why I feel like we focused on it at the right time. Mm-hmm. And right when we started, I feel like it was like getting really, really big. I feel like if we had waited a couple of years, we might not have been as successful as we have been.
Well, I mean, it is one of those things, though, right? Like, you can't really look at it like that.
It's true.
Because we wouldn't have created the content that we created when we created it.
Yeah.
It's all butterfly effect, right?
Right.
But yeah, the festival, Lainey, do you mind talking a little bit more about that? We definitely mention it every episode that we put out, but because you're the co-founder, definitely want to hear from you how that got started and everything.
Oh, man. Okay, so it started in 2018. I was at another criminal conference, if you will. We were brought on as the inaugural one. And it was so funny to me because they like, podcasts are great. Podcasts are wonderful. We're going to have this whole room for you guys. And we're like, dang, that's awesome. This is amazing. And then when we get there, they're like, everybody in attendance, I kid you not, like, you cannot imagine the more like surreal thing being like, okay, I've bought all this stuff for my table. I have stickers. Like, they're going to be, my listeners are going to be here. I've been talking about it, like this free advertising. And then everybody walks in and is like, what's a podcast? What do you do? What is this? And you're like, this is literally a room created of nothing but podcasts. And you guys are literally have no clue. So there wasn't really any like communication, I guess, to the general audience about like what it was. Everybody was there to like see Nancy Grace and all this stuff. And Nancy Grace had a table, which was also interesting. But so we were set up with like with these like celebrities and stuff, if you will. And then the people would just come around and you'd be like, so I have a podcast. I'm like, oh, how do you listen to it? Or what is that? Like, is it like, I'm like, it's like a radio show without commercials. Now that's not true. Now it's like a radio show with commercials. yeah. You can skip these if you want to, and or pay extra and get more. Sorry, that was my chair. Something like that, you know? So I was really disappointed with that experience. And then as time went on, I was kind of just like, I don't really like this. I want to do something like this, but like not at the same level where the creator gets lost in it, like where it's focused on this like celebrity of a person versus the people who create the content that people want to listen to, right? Like the people who would create the content for Nancy Grace, for instance, to have a podcast that she has now. So I was sitting at the hotel bar with a bunch of my friends and I said, I want to do this. I just want to host a meetup, you know, like I want to do a big meetup with all of us and find a place that'll host us and everything. And everybody's like, okay, do it. Like, that's amazing. And so we got another person to help on the planning side to be like, oh, hey, actually, I know how to do things like this, so I can help you. So we did the 2019 event in Chicago, completely grassroots, no marketing, no like awareness at all. And 500 people showed up. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, we were completely out of our depth, right? Like, we were very fortunate that it was great and amazing, but we were completely like, I mean, if you can imagine now that you've been to one, having the sessions in the same room as the podcast row, like you'd be like, not a good idea, probably poor choice, right? It was so we just like had no clue what we were doing, right? But people trusted us enough to be able to come and go like, yeah, this seems like fun. Overall, the event was great, but it was just like not done well at the end of the day. Like from a programming standpoint, it was from a numbers perspective, amazing, huge success. But from my own perspective of what people got out of it, I was like, I'm surprised anybody wants to come back to this because it was a shit show. But you know, it's nice again that I've built this reputation, like this positive reputation in this community, that people trust me enough to go, hey, I'm going to give this another shot and see. And each time we've gotten better, right? Like we take it in. Unfortunately, right, we had COVID, so we had to skip 1 year and then we had the gathering restriction. So we literally, coincidentally, hosted essentially a meetup in a giant hotel room for the 2020 or 2021 festival that was in Kansas City. And so when 2022 came around, I was like, listen, you know, we don't have the same audience at all that we had. And things have changed. I mean, since 2019 to 2022, the economy had changed and all this stuff. So I wasn't expecting the 500 again. To me, that was a fluke, right? I was like, that rarely happens. Like, we were so lucky. So in 2022, we came back to Dallas. I chose Dallas truly because I just had my kids. So I was like, I'm not going anywhere that requires travel and I have all this shit to bring. So
I did not realize it was in Dallas.
Yeah, so the first one was in Dallas in 2022, and that was great. It was still a great learning opportunity for me because it was basically all alone without On the planning side, I was solo, right? And then I had my friends helping with the scheduling and with the tables and figuring out that stuff, because I was like, I don't know. What I can do is get people there. What I can do is connect with creators, and what I can do is this. And then I had all my other friends who had great strengths in planning on that side, helping with that. But there were still opportunities for improvement there. And so 2023 in Austin, and to be candid and very honest with you, I have never enjoyed a festival. I have never like experienced it in a way that I was like, oh my God, this was the best. I'm always like, this was crap, right? Everybody hated
this
it.
This could have been better.
Everybody hates me. And now they're like, you're terrible at everything you do. Why do you keep doing this to yourself? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm really passionate about it. I'm really passionate about looking like an ass in front of everyone.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, when we saw you, we freaked out. We were a little starstruck. We were like, oh my God,
it's Lainey. That's so funny. No, so 2023 in Austin, I go into these things with terrible anxiety. Like, I am always the worst person to myself. Like, I'm like, you guys can say whatever you want. You can be like, hey, you're a terrible piece of shit. And I'll be like, thank you. I know.
Thank you for the criticism.
And also, I'm like, nobody can be meaner to me than myself. Like, you got nothing on me as it relates to me in that capacity. So going into Austin, I was so nervous. I was so like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, I was worried about everything. I always worry about money because I'm like, how am I going to pay this? And eventually, I always do. So it's not everything I should worry about. But I do. I'm like, hey, I haven't hit this goal. I haven't hit this milestone. This is what I wanted to see. This is what I wanted to do, and I can't do it, or whatever. So when we finally walked into Austin, and I had everything kind of lessons learned from 2022 implemented in 2023, I was like, okay. And then getting the real-time feedback from people of like, this has been great. This has been amazing. This has been awesome. I was like, holy crap. Like, I think I actually like being here. I think this was great. And it was. Like, it's still opportunities for growth in that sense of audio and making sure we have XYZ and diversity and paneling and creating two tracks, which is what we've changed for this year, is that we're having a podcaster's education track and then a attendee track, right? So if podcasters want to learn from their peers about, hey, how did I get started? What's good marketing techniques or things that you can do? Well, you get to do that here, right? How can I start a YouTube channel? Because I have no idea how YouTube works. I only know the podcasting platform and the rules that, you know, are different. Like, nobody's going to take my podcast off the air or demonetize my podcast, right? That's completely up to me. But on YouTube, it's left to somebody else to go, yeah, your content violated our policy, so this video is demonetized. Yeah. Like, how can you avoid that? How can you work around that to create content that can serve both platforms or any platform without violating any policies or whatever they have in place? So
we should go to that.
I know. I was gonna say, we'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, right. So, you know, it's things like that. Like, this is something that people can learn from as, like, you know, from a educational perspective of how do I start a podcast? Well, great. Here's how you can do it. And learning from the people who have done it successfully or continuing to learn how to do it successfully. And then the other side, which changed a lot for me and Dallas, which was the focus on ethics and advocacy, right?
Sorry, Lainey.
I'm so sorry.
There was not anything you said. It was something
hard. Ethics and advocacy is pretty funny. No, I was kidding.
No. I'm so sorry.
Something happened on our microphone and it sounded so freaky. Sorry. It sounded like, I don't know.
I tried my absolute hardest to not laugh, but it was like when you're in the classroom with your friend and you can't laugh, you know what I mean?
We just made eye contact and we started laughing.
So sorry. That's so rude. Go ahead.
It is. It's fine. It may mean I may never come back, but that's okay. You had your chance, so we're good. No, I was kidding. But, you know, we had the focus and shift on ethics and advocacy, which is super important to me. And it's literally changed my life. And so I'm just like, I have no compromise there. Like, we are not here to glorify, to do anything. Like, we are here to amplify the voices of the people who basically gave us this content. Without them, we would have no platforms. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have this success I have without somebody having the worst day of their life. And I have to be able to sleep at night going, have I done enough? Have I helped somebody? Have I given, you know, my platform to somebody who could use it? And thankfully, I can say, yes, I have. And yes, I continue to do so. And now I get to create an environment where they can come and meet creators who want to help them. Because you can imagine when you have somebody who's like lost a family member, or a family member's missing, and they, you know, people tell them like, oh, reach out to this podcast. There's millions of podcasts out there. And imagine being able to be in a room and go, I have unlimited access to these creators, and now I get to tell them about my case. And it's really difficult as a person being in front of another person who's dealing with this going, you know, that content doesn't really fit my show. Like, you're going to find a way to make it work if you want to, right? Like, there's you can't do it. But it's a completely different vibe. It's a completely different opportunity for the families and advocates to come in and say, like, hey, here's my story. Can I get on your show? And they'll be like, yeah, I'd love to have you on my show. And then they build connections. Like, there are people in this industry who have just randomly decided to help somebody, and now they're like celebrating birthdays together. They spend time as a family. Like, they've built these connections because of a common mission they have to spread awareness about a crime that's taken place, you know, or a person that's missing. And I think that's incredible. And if I can have a part in that, I want to. I always want to see that growth and be like, that's amazing. So
for sure,
that's it. That's the long story.
Especially no, I find it funny that you said that you guys were kind of looking for not necessarily a true crime meetup, but some kind of a meetup, and that you guys created this because that's exactly what we were doing. We were looking for a meetup. We're like, there has to be something in the San Antonio area where people get together and do this. Sure enough, it was just a few months before the con, and we were really nervous about it, but really excited, and we were really fortunate to have it kind of in our backyard and not across the U.S. somewhere.
I mean, yeah, if we had seen it in Chicago, we wouldn't have been able to go,
right?
Like, financially, we just wouldn't have, you know. So that was kismet, I think, that it happened to be in Austin. And when I tell you that we like literally shrieked when we got like approved, I'm not even joking. When we got registered, we were like really, really.
I was like, shut up, shut up.
And then
up.
Even this year, we're like, they want us back.
Well, I think it's so cool too. I'm so impressed by y'all, because I reached out to you to go, hey, you know, because my job, my goal is to give you like a platform to like collaborate with other creators and say, like, I always like pairing newer shows with older shows and creating that network, like kind of forcing that network to be like, oh yeah, remember when we worked together? And it creates it breaks the ice there to where you're not like, oh my god, Justin from Generation Y. You're like, okay, it's Justin. Like, it's gonna be okay.
Hey, Justin.
You know, I love him so much, so it's fine. But you guys were like, no thanks. We don't think we're like ready for that yet. And I was like, look at you, not just going, sure, we'll do it. Instead, you were like, you know what? We'd like to see how things work first before we consider doing something like that. Like, you wanted to be fully prepared to like be essentially like your best self. And I was like, I've never seen that. And I think that is so admirable, honestly, because, you know, people would be like, of course I'll do it. I'll be on, you know, whatever, and go after that piece, as opposed to being like, I want to do what's best for myself and make sure that I'm presenting myself in the best light possible. And I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely want to be authentically ourselves. And I think at that time, I think not that we've struggled with authenticity, but just having specific dialogues and bringing those specific topics to the table in a really sensitive and coming from a place of knowledge and understanding, rather.
Right.
And so to have all that now, you know, maybe not this year, but, you know, but still, I think that we're gearing up to that. And I think that it was really important for us to be like, let's walk into this space and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And fortunately, everyone has been so supportive. And I am not kidding the listeners. The way that Lainey is describing this is exactly the way that it feels. It feels warm and comfy and inviting and positive. And the connections are there, and you can have a drink with other podcasters.
And like, they don't judge you for being new, and it's like...
yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off again. I was just talking about the panel. Yeah, last year it was about, you know, learning the festival in itself, right? Not even just the panel, but learning the festival. So we got to do that, figured out how it all worked. We got to meet amazing people. And then we realized, oh my God, we didn't go to any of the panels last year. So now this year we're like, now we got to go to the panels. Because we're not going to just do one if we've never seen one.
Right.
So this year, our focus is going to be to attend, you know, most of the panels, or if we can. And then, of course, build those connections still. And then maybe next year we will do one.
I think sometimes our fear is not being present at the booth, you know?
Oh, here's the thing. So yes, like, I know. Everybody, so that's the thing we're changing 2024, right? Because I was like, yeah, people are going to be like, well, I want to be here, but I also want to go and hear this. And that's also what I struggled with when I went to that one criminal conference. Because it's like, that actually seems really interesting, but I'm told I have to stay here all day, so then I can't go. And so we're changing that for 2024. So we have scheduled times. Like, you're going to probably be at your table a max of 3 hours for the entire festival. So then you can go. And that's like scheduled time. Anytime you can stay there all day, like some people like to do, or you can go to a, you know, a panel and a session. and things like that. So, well, you know, cool. I was like, I heard you guys loud and clear on that, and it's going to change. Like, it's going to be something that, cause I want you to get something out of it too, right? You're doing me a favor by coming and sharing, you know, your space and your podcast with these attendees. So I want to make sure you get something out of it too, because also as indie creators, newsflash, like, we don't make a lot of money, if any. Some of this comes out of our personal pocket. Like TCPF every year pretty much comes out of my personal funds. Like, most of it is thankfully through ticket sales, but like the little stuff that I do, I'm like, I'll do it because I don't want to take away from the festival and being able to do this just to do that. Like, I can do it, so I'll make sure it's done and stuff. And that's because I'm like, I want to make sure it's all good. But you want to get something. Yeah, you want to get something out of it too, and you also want to maximize the benefit. Like, you're traveling, however you decide to travel, air or through a vehicle. You're having to spend money for your food, for your hotel. Like, I try to make it as cost effective as possible to keep it low, because yes, I could charge $300, $500, $1,000, but I'm A, not that person. And it's never been about profits for me. It's always like, I want to make it accessible so everybody can come, you know, who wants to come. Like, the creator who's like, I only have like 50 listeners and 2 episodes. Can I come? I'm like, yeah, dude, register, because this is going to be awesome for you. And it's to me, it's also a very overwhelming event. I tell people if they've never been, I'm like, just prepare yourself, because it is a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you need a day off the next, like when it's all over, you need a day off from work. Like, plan for the Thursday through Monday to be off. That's because
exactly what we're doing. I'm excited. I was just going to say, the fact that you were saying that you want everyone to be able to attend. So this year is actually a family affair. We're actually coming with both of our boyfriends and our parents, because it's my birthday on Sunday, the 14th. And so I was like, if we're going to be in Denver on my birthday, I'm not flying home my birthday. We're going to stay on my birthday and we'll go home on Monday. Really, really excited for them to be there.
Excited. Well, congrats.
And of course, for them to see our little niche.
Niche.
However you say it.
Well, do you have any trust me, I'm a voice actor, so I know how to pronounce words. Oh, boy. No, I'm kidding. I
always needs help with that.
I do. But yeah, it's been really great.
I'm good. Lainey, do you have anything else you want to say before we end our conversation?
Yes, we will be planning a Texas Podcast Union meetup soon. We do, as you may know or may not know, the Texas Podcast Union is made up of all creators in Texas who have a podcast. Literally runs a gambit of the type of shows that they have, and it's a lot of fun. So we travel throughout the state of Texas. So we go typically Dallas, then Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston sometimes. It's a personal feeling of Houston. If you know, oh, you know. Right there. I hate Houston. Not the people. Well, sometimes the people, but also the traffic.
The traffic, for sure.
Zero desire. Yeah. I have zero desire to be in Houston at any point on purpose. So, sorry. No hate. No hate, no shade. No, you know. But also, not sorry. So yeah, we're going to be going through, we kind of go through the middle, right? We hit all the major cities and stuff like that. And we find cool bars or like coffee houses and stuff that will let us just hang out. And if we get the opportunity to like do a live show, we'll do one if they have a stage and mic and stuff. Some of them do, but otherwise we just hang out, drink and get to know each other or invite people there and stuff. So we will be picking those up probably after July. So we'll be doing more in the fall months because it's, people aren't traveling as much, and they're also, it's the summer in Texas, so you don't want to do anything crazy in Texas outside.
Yeah, yeah, otherwise. Of course, yeah.
So, yeah, so we'll be doing some of those in the later half of the year, and that'll be fun. So you guys don't have to come to the Dallas one. You can wait till the San Antonio one.
I was so excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, and it's fun to see other creators.
I know. That's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait.
So that's it.
Thank you so much, Lainey.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to say, I think that we did really great having a podcaster on our live because I feel like the last couple people that we've had, they've been great episodes, but they don't, they like, feel like they can't talk because they're like, they're not used to it. So I think it was really good.
Awesome. Thank you. That's
yeah,
so
thank
nice.
You.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's all we have. And listeners, we will see you when our next episode comes out.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Ready? You want to say it with us, Lainey?
Okay. One, two, three.
Love you.
Bye.